plate a potential nugget.
I want to move to the next transition you talk about in the book, Michael, corporate diplomacy.
Yep.
And this is something that we grapple with, right? Authority to influence. And it's possibly also something that's topical as we move from the industrial age to the digital age.
Absolutely.
Clearly, the ability to influence is probably mattering more and more than it did maybe a few decades back.
So there's no question about that statement, right? And especially as we're moving to sort of flatter, more lateral, more network-based organizations, right? The whole importance of leading without authority is unquestionably going up.
I guess I had a slightly orthogonal question here, right? From a CEO thinking about his career perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Often in a large organization, let's say you're running a large plant. I was working with a CEO who'd been brought in to turn around the business. He turned it around in a couple of years, did a good job. Now, his company is considering him for a regional VP role, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of double click on the role, it's very different, right? It's sitting mm-hmm. in an office.
Absolutely.
He's a man who likes to, he's an ex-army, French army man, likes to roll up his sleeves, likes the action, likes the shop floor. The big question he's grappling with is, should he even consider it, given that he's historically been best suited for taking charge and delivering business outcomes?
Yep.
So maybe to ask a different question, Michael, in terms of how leaders should think about careers, but specifically focusing on this notion of authority to influence, have you seen leaders, walk away from such opportunities? Or maybe the broader question here is, how should people watch out for a promotion, which seems like an elevation, but fundamentally changes the nature of the job, and it might actually be counterintuitively negative?
No, it's such a great question, Deepak. And I mean, you see it in different levels in different ways, right? So there's the example that you just gave. I do a lot of work with a global healthcare company, and they have a lot of operating companies, and, you know, operating company leadership roles they're a lot of fun, right? You're leading an OpCo team of some form, and you're very much engaged with the business. And the next level up is basically a group leadership role. And so you're managing a whole portfolio of operating companies. You're not part of any one of them. And, you know, it's very sought after to get a promotion from being an operating company president, let's say, to being a group leader. But then people get there and kind of go, this isn't really a whole lot of fun, right? I'm not connected in the same way that I was. I'm not sort of active in the same way I was. And why did I do this exactly, right? It's, you sometimes hear people, you know, ask. And so I think that's very much similar to what you're saying. You also see people who, and I've got a very concrete example I'm working with right now, you know, leader, female leader in this case, who was running a country operation for, you know, a large medical device company, and very successful, right? The organization was more a kind of traditional country management structure, right? So she had a lot of authority, and she's a very dynamic, you know, for a very action-oriented person. And then they put her in a regional strategy role where she had zero, you know, responsibility. And it's a logical, way station to even higher levels. But she struggled mightily, right, with the fact that she didn't have any of the levers to pull that she used to have. So, you know, I think, first of all, that's just the nature of the beast in terms of the transition. Whether or not you decide to do it, look, I think it's very hard for ambitious people to say, I'm gonna not do something which probably is a prerequisite to getting to even higher levels. But, you know, the people that are strong enough to understand what really moves them, energizes them, should be giving those things very, very hard thought, because it's surprisingly easy, even at senior levels, to make yourself quite unhappy, right, by the choices you make, you know, in aid of thinking that you need to do something to get to higher levels. I know I'm not fully answering your question, Deepak, because it's a complicated question, and it's a great question, but it's complicated.
No, but I like the way you frame it. It's very easy for you yourself for you to make yourself unhappy, right? It's absolutely. it's such a profound statement, right? It's sometimes going with the flow is not as seamless as you think it is. So I hear you, and I wasn't clearly there are no simple answers here. But I guess the related theme where I was coming from was as people think about their journeys and their choices. How much of it should be around, let me find a playground where I can play to my potential versus this is, you know, the rite of passage and let me adapt myself and do whatever it takes to succeed. So I was just curious about your observations on how people think about those two questions versus of, you know, find a playground versus adapt as they go through their journey.
So I think there's an underpinning kind of, idea or phenomenon here, right? So I'm quite interested in certain forms of psychotherapy these days, believe it or not. And one of the reasons I'm interested in that is because I, you know, sometimes when I coach people, I begin to kind of come up against the boundaries of therapy almost. And so I needed a way to think about, you know, where does coaching end and therapy begin? And in fact, this led to some interesting relationships. And I've done a few cases now where I've done sort of joint engagements with a therapist, with a leader, with pretty interesting results. The reason I raise this is because there's certain personalities that have, you know, what are sometimes called unrelenting standards built into them, that they just need to continue to push themselves forward, regardless of how unhappy it makes them. And so I think that, and the reason I say this, Deepak, is that sometimes people, I don't think, feel like they have a choice, right? That they have to keep driving themselves forward, regardless of what it does to them, their families, or otherwise. And so to me, the answer to your question is rooted in part in the level of self-awareness and maturity and self-control in a deeper sense that a leader has. And it's only if that's there that they even have the ability to ask the question, you know, could I say no to this? Never mind actually act upon it.
I was recently reading the book Small Giants by Bo Burlingham, where he speaks about companies that decided to stay small and differentiated rather than going for scale. In the book, he says that scaling is a choice and not something that everybody needs to embark on by default. On a similar note, I'd like to believe that every promotion in a company is a choice for a leader amidst several other choices in the market. Often leaders come up to an inflection point where the dynamics of the next role and what it takes to succeed in it are very different from the past and very different from how the leader is wired. In these situations, it's helpful to pause and take stock of yourself and convince that the promotion makes sense amidst the different pathways that might be out there and then march forward. Like Michael says, it's easy to feel that the promotion is inevitable, or inexorable rather, and one needs to keep going with it. But realizing that it's a choice to be made and looking at the role afresh and lining it up against potential market opportunities is critical to ensure that you continue enjoying the path that you're on. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You might be specifically interested in the playlist Settling into a New Context. This has perspectives from people from various domains, including what Dr. Ramachandra Guha says about how Gandhiji settled into India and started driving the independence movement when he moved here from South Africa. To access this, please go to the curated playlist page and click on Transitions. Within that, you will find the playlist Settling into a New Context. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.